So I apologize about the lighting here. It has to be fixed.
I don't know.
What do you want? Do you want another chair? One of these chairs?
These chairs are fine. This chair, please.
There's a chumashia if anyone wants to get one.
There's a what?
I say there's a chumashia. I have all the psukim on the page, but if you want to see from the chumash itself with the Rashi, so there's one extra one here.
I know it by heart.
Okay, good. So there's a very enigmatic parsha in Shmos Perek Lamed Gimel, very difficult to understand. And our goal is to see two pieces in the Maral that may possibly, reveal shed some sort of light on these psukim, or at least some of these psukim. Now again, there are a myriad of questions here on these psukim. Very few of which we'll be able to explain, but hopefully we'll get one piece that I think is very central. That's by way of introduction. So, in the aftermath of Chet HaEgel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu teaches Moshe Rabbeinu the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim, and Hashem is teaching Moshe that at any time in a critical moment in Jewish history, when things look very desperate, these are the Midos HaRachmim that he should pray for. And we'll soon see that Moshe Rabbeinu is not necessarily comfortable. He's not so, shall I say, secure about it. He's worried whether or not throughout the generations the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachmim will do it for Klal Yisrael and save Klal Yisrael at moments of anger. Vayomer Moshe Hashem. Now, after this whole parasha of the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim, Moshe turns to Hashem in a way that seems to be very personal. In other words, up until this point, Moshe is praying on behalf of Klal Yisrael. Now, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu wants to do something for himself on a religious level. Moshe, as you know, I don't have to tell you this, has an infinite desire and a passion to get close to Hashem, to know God. And he asks Hashem, Re'e ata omer elai ha'alas ha'amazeh, v'ata lo hodatani, eis asher tishlach imi, v'ata amarti yidaticha b'shem, v'gam matzasi chein b'enecha. So again, there are many different elements in this pasuk, but what we want to focus on is that Moshe Rabbeinu is asking about what we call a yediya, some sort of knowledge of God. In other words, he asks God to reveal something about himself with a capital H. And therefore, v'ata, now at this stage, that you, Hashem, have accepted my prayers, you've granted me the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim, now im no matzasi chen beinecha, perhaps I can be, in a sense, a little bit chutzvedik, and ask for something even beyond. Hodieni na es drachecha. So please note that word drachecha, because in the next pasuk we're going to have something very similar, but the word drachecha is going to be dropped and another word is going to substitute, is going to replace it. Hodieni na es drachecha, show me your ways, ve'idacha. In other words, I want to know you. And knowledge means oneness, as we'll soon see, that yedia means a chibur, a connection between two things. And as a result of my knowledge, my understanding of you, God, I'll become very close to you. I'll find favor in your eyes. And now Moshe Rabbeinu seems to add another bakasha, which doesn't seem to connect with the first one, and this is our first question for tonight. And in Pasuk Yud Gimel, he says, Ure'ei ki amcha goy hazeh, meaning your nation is the nation of Israel. Now he seems to be shifting his theme, and his bakosh is no longer on behalf of himself, hareini na es kvodecha, es rochecha, but rather he's now asking something on behalf of the people of Israel. And what we'd like to do tonight is find a connection between the two. And then we have Pasuk Yud Ches. Now Moshe Rabbeinu seems to be going a step further. Not only Does he ask for a yediyah of the drachim of Hashem, that God should reveal his ways? But here he says, Har'eini na es kvodecha. And Rashi makes a big deal about this. Rashi says, in Pasuk Yud Ches, you'll see it right below, Ra Moshe, Moshe became aware of the fact, Shaya Eis Ratzon, that this is a moment of opportunity. Udvar Miskabl Mekubalim, and his prayers are being accepted, his prayers on behalf of Klal Yisrael, Hashem is listening, and in a sense giving him a Yashar Koach for asking for this Yediyah. He gets the sense that Hashem is waiting for him to even ask something beyond just Drachecha. V'hosif, and therefore Moshe finds it appropriate at this moment to ask for Lish'ol Laharoso Mar'is Kvodo. In a certain sense, until now, Moshe Rabbeinu is asking for something much more intellectual, but now he's asking for something even tangible, if you could say it. You know, something that he can sense with, again, if you take it literally, it's with his sense of sight, but not to see. I mean, Hashem, of course, has no physical element to him, but to get a sense of the covet of Hashem, some sort of a vision of perhaps what God is all about. And here we get to Pasuk Yud Tes. This Pasuk, we'll see with Rashi, is the most difficult, in my opinion, the most difficult Pasuk here, simply from the perspective of what I call Pshuto Shel Mikra. What I mean to say is that if Moshe Rabbeinu's Bakasha in Pasuk Yud Ches is to see, as Rashi says, a Mare of the covenant of Hashem, some sort of Re'iyah, a Mare, then the answer to that request seems to come in Pasuk Chaf, where Hashem says, "Vayomer lo tuchal liros espana." You know, that much I can't grant you. Ki lo yirani ha'adam v'chai. A human physical being in his lifetime cannot see or get a vision of the Kvod Hashem. So, Hareini no es kvodecha is an impossibility, Hashem says to him. But Hashem says to him, perhaps part of your request I can respond to. And here the psukim from Chaf Aleph till Chaf Gimel, with a special emphasis on Chaf Gimel, seem to be responding to Moshe's request in Pasuk Yud Gimel about Hodieni Noas Drachecha, and we're going to try to connect that to Re'ei Ki Amcha Hagoya, is there something on behalf of the nation of Israel? But Pasuk Yud Tes, which we're going to read now and try to understand it with Rashi, seems to be, in a sense, derailing us from the dialogue between Moshe and Hashem. Vayomer Hashem responds, Ani avir kol tuvi al panecha. Again, these are very difficult concepts. We'll see what Rashi has to say. V'karasi v'shem Hashem lefanecha. I will, in a sense, call out in the name Yud Kei Vav Kei in front of you. And then, something which seems to have no relevance to it whatsoever here, because Moshe Rabbeinu is trying to see a vision or get close to understanding God, Hashem says, "V'chanosi es asher achon, v'richamti es asher rachem." In a sense, at this point, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is revealing the depths or the profound and almost infinite nature of His Yud Kei Vav Kei, of His Midas HaRachamim, "Chanosi es asher achon, v'richamti es asher rachem," which might mean, again, there are various interpretations, that God is going to bestow His goodness, His compassion, even on those who don't deserve it. And for some reason, that revelation about the Shem Hashem becomes critical to the response to Moshe's request about Hodieni. In other words, if you want to know me, Moshe Rabbeinu, the knowledge that you can have of my essence is in Yud Kei Vav Kei. It inheres in the Midas HaRachamim, which is a very extreme Midas HaRachamim. You know, we say, for example, in the Yud Gimel Midos, which came right before this, it says Hashem Hashem Yud Kei Vav Kei twice, and then it says Kel, right? Aleph Lamed. So Rashi says that what is Kel? Kel, Rashi says, is Midas HaRachamim. Otherwise, it wouldn't be appropriate in the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim. And furthermore, David HaMelech says, which Chazal says really what Esther said when she went into Ahasuerus, Keli, Keli, Lama Zavtani. Again, the name Kel, right? Aleph Lamed. And it doesn't make sense that she would pray to Hashem, why is the Midah Kel, if it's Midah Sadin, Azavtani, why has it left me? On the contrary, she's being struck with the Midah Sadin. So obviously, Keli, Keli, Lama Zavtani is a plea for the Midah of Rachamim. So Rashi explains that even though Yud Kei Vav Kei, twice, one is Kodem Lachet and one Liachra Chet, there's a Midas HaRachmim, but Kel, which is the third of the 13 attributes, is the Midas HaRachmim HaMeruba, which means that even though we don't deserve any Rachmim, any Chesed at all, there'll still be this might, this power of Kel to protect us and to bring about our Yeshua, our redemption. In any event, getting back to this discussion, Pasuk Yutes has to be understood in its context. How is this an appropriate response on the part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe's requests that came until now? Again, in Pasuk Yud Gimel, there seems to be some sort of an integration of A plus B, a double request. In Pasuk Yud Ches, as Rashi enhances it, is a request to see some sort of vision of Hashem, whatever that means, a vision of God's greatness. And then Hashem speaks to him about the midah of rachamim, of v'chanosi asesherachon v'richamti asesherachem, seems to be a certain deviation from our subject matter. And then picking up the thread in Pasuk Chaf, Hashem says, look, you want to see my kavod, that you can't see. But what can you experience? What can I give you at least a piece of the pie? So let's understand what the pasuk means in Yutes when it says Ani Avir Kol Tuvi Al Panecha. Rashi says the following: Higia Sha'a Shetirek Vodi. You want to ask to see my kavod. Masha Ersha Oscha Liros. Whatever I can permit you to see. And why is it that you, Moshe Rabbeinu, are asking? Beyond all the requests that you had on behalf of Klal Yisrael, you're asking for this picture of my kavod. What's the deeper meaning, says Rashi, of Moshe's request to see the kavod of Hashem? Rashi says something amazing here. He says the following: L'fishani rotzev v'tzoch l'amdecha seder tefila. You need and you desire, and I have to teach you the Seder Tefillah, which is the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachmim. That's called in Chazal always a Seder Tefillah. That's why, by the way, my Rebbe used to always say that Slichos, which is essentially Yud Gimel Midas HaRachmim, has all the dinim of Tefillah. It's a Seder Tefillah. That's not for now, but if we had a chance to go through all the laws of Slichos, you'd see how it's a structure of Tefillah with all the dinim of Tefillah. K'shenitztarach l'vakesh rachmim al Yisrael. And why was this necessary? You're praying on behalf of Klal Yisrael. You're asking for compassion. They don't really deserve the mercy, al pi midas hadin. And is kartali zchus avos. Now, we mention the fact that we are the descendants of the avos, and in that state, in that sense, we have merits, and Hashem should have mercy on us as such. But Moshe Rabbeinu, as I said at the outset, is not secure. He's not comfortable about this. Hashem says to him, Kasavar, what's motivating you at this point? You think, Ata, Sha'im Tamas Chus Avos. But what happens if we no longer have rights to Chus Avos? In other words, we have gone so far astray from the path of our ancestors that we can't really wave the flag of Chus Avos. We no longer are an expression or a continuation of the avos. Is eino tikva, that chas v'sholom we have no hope. We can ask Hashem to have mercy as long as we're within the fold, as long as we're continuing in the ways of our avos to some extent, even if we sin and we deviate, but we still have a basic fundamental resemblance to our avos. But at one point, tamas chus avos, our rights to claim the merits of the avos have completely terminated, and therefore we have no hope for the future. Says Hashem, if that's what's motivating you, if that's what you're saying, show me, Hashem, that there's something even beyond Schus Avos. There's a rachamim, a certain attribute of God that goes even beyond, that will protect Klal Yisrael despite the fact that they don't have any schus avos. Hashem says, Ani avir kol midas tuvi lefenech. The emphasis on the word kol midas tuvi. There's a midas atov that goes beyond, that's not even dependent upon Klal Yisrael resembling in any way or extending the ways of the avos. And that's going to happen as Hashem describes it in Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Mokom iti, hine mokom iti, v'nitzav talatzur. And somehow Moshe Rabbeinu is going to see in Pasuk Chaf Beis something of the covet of Hashem when he gets close to this tzur, this stone. V'sakosi kapi olech ad ovri, and Hashem will somehow connect to Moshe Rabbeinu. And for a moment Hashem will pass over Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu will not be able to behold Hashem, because that lo yirani odom v'chai, but vasirosius kapi, I will remove this veil, so to speak, just in time for you to see something. And what covet of Hashem do I allow you, do I permit you, and you're capable of, as a human mortal being, beholding? V'ra'isa es achorai ufanai lo yiro. Now, Rabbosar, this pasuk v'ra'isa es achorai, there are many different interpretations. Some say that, you know, we'll never understand history as it unfolds, but looking back in history, achorai l'mafreya, retroactively, we'll understand. But that's not the approach that we're going to take tonight. We're going to start with Rashi. Rashi says, v'ra'isa es achorai her'ohu kesher shel tefillin. Now again, the tefillin themselves are on the head. The kesher is in the back, on the bottom. Obviously, the kesher shel tefillin is only, shall we say, a miktsas re'iya. It's only a fraction of seeing the entire thing. So Hashem says the tefillin themselves you won't be able to see, but you'll be able to behold the kesher shel tefillin. So let's just ask a few questions here. Question number one. Why is Pasuk Yutes wedged between the Bakoshos of Moshe Rabbeinu in Yud Gimel and Yud Ches, and then the response of Hashem in Pasuk Chaf? What is the essence of Pasuk Yutes in terms of what Moshe was requesting? Question number two, Pasuk Yud Ches seems to be a single Bakosha, whereas Pasuk Yud Gimel seems to be a double Bakosha, in which he's integrating two distinct and separate themes. How do those integrate together? And finally, question number three, what is the kesher shel tefillin and what is its significance? So Rabbosei, tonight we want to study two marals. Each one I think is very fundamental. And we're going to try to see how Reb Tzadok HaKohen, who is about, I would say, two centuries after the maral, but also a great philosopher, tried to embellish and you know my style, as I always tell you, we're not just limited to the Maral. We want to see how the Maral can be, we say in Yiddish, feared ice, you know, how we can take it further and embellish it. The first yesod in the Maral, which is actually quite famous, but the second Maral I think is more of a chidush, it's not so well known. The Maral has a 10-page drasha for Shabbos Tshuva. And towards the end of this drasha, I think he spills the beans. What I mean to say is reveals something about how the tshuva process and the kapar process of Yom HaKippur really works. He really reveals an unbelievable secret here. Says the Maral, Ki Yom HaKippurim hu mechaper b'shvil shachote hu shaval Hashem yis'ale. Now, what the Maral is saying at this point is that if the sinner repents the way he should, then Yom HaKippurim will effectuate his tshuva, and that makes sense. And how does that operate? Asher hoya misrachik mimenu kasher chota, the essence of sin is to separate and distance man from the Ribono Shel Olam. Yom Kippur is a day which Hashem appears very close, and in the context of that close relationship, man can do tshuva, and perhaps the Maral, although he doesn't spell it out in this particular quote, but a little bit later he spells out perhaps man doesn't have to do a full tshuva. He starts the process. He's absolutely inspired and elevated by the closeness to Hashem. And in that context, Yom HaKippurim could come and be machaper, because the chote started the process of tshuva. Even if he didn't finish it, but he's no longer distanced from Hashem, the richuk from Hashem has been removed, and through this process of tshuva, man seizes the opportunity, takes advantage of the opportunity of Hashem's closeness, and moves towards Hashem. And in the context of that closeness, Yom HaKippurim is mechaper. But here the Maharal goes a lot further. And he says the following. The Mishnah at the end of Yoma, quoting Rabbi Akiva, says the following. Ashreichem Yisrael, how fortunate are the people of Israel, if they miatem mitaharim, in whose presence do you purify yourself? Klomar. Shemash Yisrael mitaharim b'Yom HaKippurim. What is the essence, what is the secret element of the Tara process of Yom HaKippurim? Now, again, if we speak about Yom HaKippurim, we can speak about it in two different directions. Number one, it's Kapara, which means protection from punishment, and that's the process of Tshuva. But Yom HaKippurim has a different element into it. It says, Lifnei Hashem Titharu. Yom HaKippurim is also a Mitaher. Wherein lies that power of Tara? How does Yom HaKippurim effectuate that Tara? Says the Maharal, the answer to that question is given by the answer to another question. Sometimes a good Jew has to ask a second question in order to answer his first question. What is the essence of this Tara and how is it achieved? The answer is, what is the essence of Klal Yisrael? What makes Klal Yisrael unique? And the answer is, the Pasuk tells us, Atem hadvekim b'Hashem Elokeichem. What is unique about the Jewish nation that you don't find in any other nation is the concept of dvekus. We are able to cling to Hashem. Again, the word cling is the best I can do in a translation of the word dvekus, but it doesn't do it justice. Dvekus indicates a certain oneness in which Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu are one. I mean, all of Shir HaShirim is really a metaphor about that oneness. And the Zohar is famous for saying, Shekud Shebrichu V'Yisrael Kula Chadhu. It's all one. That's the Dveikus here that's written in the Pasuk, Atem Dveikim Vashem in Parshas Vayischanan. And Rabbi Akiva's statement, his comment, is a result of that element that defines the essence of the Jewish nation. What defines us as unique? Dveikus. Does everybody have that? Dveikus. I'm going to say it over and over again because this is the secret of the Maharal. The Maharal says that we are unique because we have Dveikus in Hashem. And if that be the case, Ashreichem Yisrael, what makes us so fortunate? Because that Dveikus in Hashem is going to engender a Tara. Lifnei mi atem mitarim. Ki ein mala yosef. He said there's nothing greater than the Dveikus of Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and almost as a natural result of that unity between the people of Israel and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that unity which is called Dveikus, we become purified. So that Dveikus is going to reach its epitome, its zenith on Yom HaKippurim, because Hashem is close to Klal Yisrael on Yom HaKippurim, and with our potential for Dveikus, which reach only, let's say, a certain level during the rest of the year, now it jumps up a few notches, reaches its high point, its apex on Yom HaKippurim, and memela we become Tahorim. Why do we become Tahorim? Because if we're Dovek in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and God is pure, then we become pure. Umi mitayr eschem avichem shebashamayim. That's the end of Rabbi Akiva's comment. Shebishvil, meaning as a result of the fact that Yisrael hem dveikim legamrei bo yisale. On Yom HaKippurim, we reach the state of absolute total dveikus in Hashem. That's the greatness, the pinnacle of Yom HaKippurim. Therefore, Dover ze atzmo, as a natural consequence, there's nothing more, is hasoras histalkus achet Yisrael, anything that could form as a mechitza, as a chatzitza in this Tara process, all the chatoim that in a sense contaminate us, just like for example a chote, if he's contaminated he can't go into a mikveh as long as he's got the chait on, or the source of the tumah on his body, right? That's called tovel v'sheretz v'yodah. But on Yom HaKippurim, All of these chatoim and all of these chatzitzots that separate him from Tara are all removed. They fall by the wayside. Because God himself is completely excluded from chet, he has total purity. So to those who identify themselves and in a sense merge their identities with Klal Yisrael, with Hashem, when Klal Yisrael merge their identity with Hashem, now just like Hashem has no chet, he represents he's the embodiment of purity in the most perfect sense, we become pure, and therefore Yom HaKippurim is not only going to protect us from punishment, and that's going to be through the process of tshuva that begins when the shav is aroused to do tshuva, or at least to begin the process of tshuva on Yom HaKippurim, that's the kapara power. But moreover, there's another Ashreichem Yisrael, not the Ashreichem Yisrael of kapara. Okay, that's one thing, but kapara could apply to any person on the face of the earth. Lav dafka Jew, if he does tshuva. And tshuva applies to Goyim as well, and the proof is, remember Mafter Yonah about Nineveh. But in the case of Klal Yisrael, here where we have Ashreichem, we get that high grade as a special nation, as a result of the fact that our essence and our uniqueness is Dveikus Bahashem, we achieve on Yom HaKippurim as the ultimate of that Dveikus Tahara, because since we become one with Hashem, and only the nation of Israel can reach that level being one with Hashem, because we are Atem Advekim Bashem Elokeichem, that's how the Pasuk identifies the unique nature of Klal Yisrael. Therefore, we achieve through that Dveikus, through that oneness with Hashem, Tahara, because we are Dovek Lagamre Bo Yisale. Again, the beautiful poetry of the Maral Miprah. And if this be the case, Rabosai, maybe we could begin to understand Tefillin. What I mean by Tefillin is not the mitzvah of Tefillin per se, but the context in which Moshe Rabbeinu hears from Hashem, that he, Moshe, could perceive the Tefillin of Hashem. What are the Tefillin of Hashem? When Hashem says, I'll pass you by and you'll see my Tefillin. What is that? What do you mean Hashem wears Tefillin? Well, what's in God's Tefillin? Yeah.
Now, can I just make just one simple question about Dveikus? So it's fair to say that Dveikus has degrees. And sometimes Dveikus is not actualized, but at the same time, it seems like there's this idea that Klal Yisrael always have some level of Dveikus, right? Is that correct?
Correct.
To say, fair to say?
And that's exactly okay. What we're going to get here from the Maral Miprah. That no matter how and where we are, we always have that, you know, genetic spiritual code of Atem Advekim Bashem Elokeich.
But it's not always fully actualized, because otherwise we wouldn't be in sin all
exactly.
the time, I guess.
And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu is going to learn here by this Shem Hashem and Chanosias Asher Achon. Let's hold on for just a few more minutes and we'll see how it ties into Tefillin. Omer Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Hani Tefillin Demori Alma, the Tefillin of Hashem, because the Gemara there in Brachos proves that Hashem wears Tefillin. Maximbahu, what's inside the Tefillin of Hashem? We wear Tefillin with Shema Yisrael inside of it. What does Hashem have inside of it? Omaleu mi ke'amcha Yisrael goyecha baretz. Essentially, what the Gemara is teaching us is that the Tefillin of Hashem represent the love of Hashem for Klal Yisrael. And therefore, when Moshe Rabbeinu is shown the Tefillin, what really Hashem is revealing to him is a little bit, a taste of, or a slight picture of the love that Hashem has for Klal Yisrael. And we said that intimate relationship of Atem Hadvekim is the source for our Kapara and Tara on Yom HaKippurim. So basically we have the following equation, maybe cross out the word Kapara here, but instead put the word Tefillin, Tahara here. Our Tahara, which is, as we said in the Maral, a result of our Dveikus and our unique relationship with Hashem, is connected to Tefillin, because as a result of the fact that Tefillin embody the love of Hashem for Klal Yisrael, that ultimate Dveikus, that's what engenders Tahara. So that the answer to Moshe Rabbeinu's request is going to be Tahara, it's going to be Dveikus, it's going to be the love of Hashem for Klal Yisrael. That's going to ultimately lead to the perfect kind of Tahara. And before we see the second Maharal, I just want to point out to you that Reb Tzadok HaKohen, we'll come back to Reb Tzadok HaKohen in great length, he tells us something that's pretty wild, and that is that there's something called the Luz bone, maybe you've heard of it, and he claims, Reb Tzadok HaKohen, that that Luz bone is where the Kesher Shel Tefillin is. It's the highest point of the vertebrae of the spine. Now, I'm not exactly sure if Reb Tzadok HaKohen is identifying the Luz as one of those vertebrae, just the top one, or maybe it's the stem, you know, what they call the brain stem, I'm not sure, but he says, Sod Luz, what's the secret of the Luz bone? Shebeshidra, it's in the spine. And what's so unique about the Luz bone? It's the Makom Kesher Shel Tefillin. Now, Reb Tzadok HaKohen is sort of like giving us a biological chart, so to speak. You know, if he had a chart to put up on the wall here, the chart would see that this area of the Kesher Shel Tefillin is what's going to connect the head to the body. And from this point, Mimenu Binyan HaGuf, that's the structure of the body. But again, we're talking now not on a physical level, but on a spiritual level. So the spirituality of the body is going to reach its expression at the time of Tchiyas HaMeisim. So the Luz bone, insofar as it reflects the love of Hashem for Klal Yisrael, because the Luz bone is keneged the Kesher Shel Tefillin, which we discussed, is Mi Ke'am Chol Yisrael, is the love of Hashem for Klal Yisrael. That is the essence of what allows the body, gives a certain life to the body that's eternal, that the body could come back at the time of Tchiyas HaMeisim. Now, when I say eternal, again, that's really a machlok between the Rambam and the Ramban, but at least according to the Ramban, I think the word eternal is appropriate, because the Ramban is of the opinion that with Tchiyas HaMeisim, the body will live for all eternity. But now I have another point in the Maral. This one is in his Netzach Yisrael. The book of the Maral called Netzach Yisrael is almost exclusively dedicated to the question of the eternity of Netzach Yisrael, that the Pasuk says, Netzach Yisrael lo yishaker, that the people of Israel and the nation of Israel will live to all eternity, something that Hashem says about this nation and not about any other nation on the face of the earth. Says the Maral, what's the explanation for this? And we're seeing here a tamtzit, just one line in the Maral, he embellishes it over and over again. Ki kol ha-nimtza'im, anything that exists on this world, in other words, what gives life or generates existence to anything on the face of the earth? And the answer is that Hashem creates the world, but the world itself has only a partial existence. When I mean a partial existence, it's very limited. And therefore, how does that limitation express itself? Besof magim el hafsid. Nothing in this universe will live to eternity. Even the sun is going to eventually shrivel up and die. At least that's what the scientists claim. Don't get nervous about it. It's going to take about 27 trillion years. So, you know, we don't have to get nervous about it now. But it's going to get very chilly here on the face of the earth. And why is it that everything is ultimately going to disintegrate? The answer is because everything has a level of existence, something that gives existence to it, but that existence is not essential. It's not part of the essence of the existing being. It's only a partial, temporary, limited kind of chius, a kind of life force that's limited. The only exception on the face of the earth is Klal Yisrael. Why? And I have no doubt that this Maral is based on the breakthrough of the other Maral, and it's the same idea, and that is that Amitus Atzmam, in their very essence, in their very reality, Yeshlo Kiyum Min Hashem Yisparch, we became part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Remember that oneness that we spoke about, in which through the Ava, through the Dveikus, we are integrated together with God's oneness. Again, this is a very deep mystical concept. But the repercussion is, Lachain Heim Mekuyamim V'ein Hefzid Lehem, will never cease to exist, because since existence, which is God, capital E, right, that's what Yud Kei Vav Kei is all about, existence, that's God, and Klal Yisrael are Dovek. They're inextricably connected to each other in a oneness of Dveikus. Therefore, we have that Kiyum in our very existence, that eternal reality, eternal being in our very essence. And therefore, our nation will never be destroyed. So this is a very optimistic view, both in terms of the love of Hashem for Klal Yisrael as it expresses itself in the tefillin which Hashem wears, and in terms of the fact that we can live forever and forever, as Reb Tzadok Kohen says, that this Kesher Shel Tefillin represents our eternity, which means Tchiyas HaMeisim. But moreover, and much more fundamentally, according to the Maral Miprag, and I have no doubt Reb Tzadok is building on the Maral Miprag, the concept of eternity with regard to Klal Yisrael, like the concept of purity with regard to Yom Kippur, is a spin-off of our Dveikus, a reflection of the love of Hashem, in which we become intimately one with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we gain from that purity because there's no chet with regard to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Number two, we gain eternal existence because God is eternal existence. And here I'd like to turn to page 2 and see perhaps how this will be integrated into the dialogue between Moshe Rabbeinu and HaKadosh Baruch Hu here in Parshas Ki Tisa, when Moshe Rabbeinu expressed a certain inhibition and a certain fear that maybe Klal Yisrael will at some point deviate so far from the path and cross all the red lines that we don't have schus avos, and Hashem is going to come back to him and say, don't worry, there's always going to be a protection for Klal Yisrael. The Mishnah says at the beginning of Sanhedrin, and here you can give this page out, Kol Yisrael yesh lehem chelek li'olam haba. Every Jew has a place in Olam Abba, and the Mishnah derives this from a pasuk in Yeshayahu Anavi, V'amev kulam tzadikim li'olam yirshu aretz. And the yirshu aretz here is an allusion to eternity, to the Olam Abba. However, then the Mishnah goes on to tell us, V'eluhem she'en lehem Olam Abba. And in the Mishnayos here, there's a whole list of those who deny certain fundamental principles of the faith, and they thereby forfeit their place in Olam Haba. Now, the Mishnah goes ahead, and that's the top of your page 2, and tells us about certain evil kings in Israel, 3 in specific, that lost their chelek in Olam Haba. And on that list appear the following names: Yeravam, Achav, Umenashe. Now, with regard to Yeravam, the pasuk says in Malachim Aleph, he was a chote and a machti. It says, "Vayehi bedvar hazeh, bedomer zel lechatos beis Yeravam lahakhid ulahashmid me'al pnei adama." Lahakhid say Chazal, this is the Gemara here in Sanhedrin, which you don't have in front of you, but it says Be'olam Hazeh, Ulahashmid Le'olam Haba. Achav, again a pasuk in Malachim, it says, Vechresi, I will destroy Achav, and it says, Atzur V'Azuv B'Yisrael. Atzur, says the Gemara, Be'olam Hazeh, V'Azuv, Be'olam Haba. And Achav died a terrible death, and he's cut off from Olam Haba. So we have now Yeravam and Achav. The third is Menashe. He worshipped Avodah Zarah, he worshipped an idol, and so forth and so on. The pasuk says about him, Vayas HaRab Eini Hashem, and it says, Kasher Osa Achav Melech Yisrael. And that is a hekesh between Achav and Menashe. Just like Achav forfeited his portion in Olam Haba, so too Menashe as well. Then the Mishnah goes on to tell us that there were those who weren't kings that lost their chelik in Olam Haba. Arba had Yotos, Bilam, Vidoeg, Achitofel, Vegechazi. And I believe that I gave this to you with Kahati's interpretation, did I not?
Yes, please.
Okay, so let's just see what Kahati has to say about this. Does it say Kuf Yud Zayin on the top left? Okay, good, so, because I gave out my photocopies, I want to make sure I'm on the same page as you. He says the following, Arba had Yotos Heim. There are 4 people who aren't kings that have no chelikim in Olam Haba, according to the Mishnah. The first one is Bilam, And that's going to be derived from the fact that Bilam says something which is cryptic, and Chazal interpreted to mean that if I get killed, then it means I'm going to be destroyed even from Olam HaBa, go straight to Gehenna. That's based on a pasuk, Thomas Nafshi Mos Yesharim V'tiyach Risi Kamo, but that's not for us now. Then we have Doeg. Doeg was the one who spoke to Shaul HaMelech with Lashon Hara on David, and as a result, the Kohanim of Nov were all destroyed because Shaul destroyed them based on the Lashon Hara of Doeg. And the pasuk says about Doeg, Bevo Doeg Hadomi, and it goes on to say, Yit Tzach LaNetzach, which means you will completely be cut off from eternity. Vachi Tofel. He was the one who gave advice to Avshalom, evil advice against his father David. And there too, the pasuk says, Vayichanek Vayomas, and Chazal interpret Vayomas means he has no chelik olam haba. And finally, the fourth gentleman, or not such a gentleman on the list, is Gehazi. He was the sidekick of Elisha, and he did some terrible things with Naaman, the king of Aram, and as a result, it was a terrible chil Hashem. And he was Mavaza Talmidei Chachamim, he was Machtias Arabim, and he lost his chelik olam haba. That's the Mishnah. But the Gemara, part of which you have on the second side of your page, I wasn't able to photocopy all of it, the Gemara says something totally different. And the Gemara tells us about Dorshei Reshumos. Now, exactly what Dorshei Reshumos means here, he calls it the interpreters of verses. But if you take a look in footnote number 41, he says in the name of Rav Tzadik HaKohen, which we're going to see soon on our page, on page 2, that Dorshei Reshumos has a much deeper meaning. And the emphasis here is on the word Roshem. Roshem means like when you remove something, but it's still left an imprint. You know, there's still something left. It's a deeper, more profound imprint that still remains even after you remove the physical object. And they said that Kulam Boyim Li'olam Abba. Now, this is mind-boggling. You have a Mishnah that says, Ein lehem chelik olam haba, and you have a Gemara that says, no, we know better than the Mishnah. Yesh lehem chelik olam haba. And the entire drashi of the drashi Rishumos is based on a very long and complicated pasuk in Tehillim. If I'm not mistaken, it's Tehillim. Let me double-check that as we go along. Li Gilad. V'li Menashe v'Ephraim, Ma'oz Roshi, Yehuda Mechokiki, Moev Sir Rachzi, Al Adom, Ashlich Na'oli. Okay, let's see if he tells you.
42.
Yeah, what does he tell you in 42? Where is it coming from? It's a little bit too small for me with the lights. Oh, it's the Tehillim Perek, Kapitel Sama. Okay, so let's just go through the pasuk. It says, Li Gilad. Gilad is mine, Menashe is mine, Ephraim is the stronghold of my head, Judah is my lawgiver, Moab is my wash basin, upon Edom I will cast my lock, and Philistia will make overtures of friendship to me. So the Gemara now darshins, these Dorshei Reshumos darshin every single word in this complicated and enigmatic pasuk in Tehillim.
What is my lock?
Okay, we'll see about that. Li Gilad, the Li Menashe, Ze Achav. Okay, because Achav, Nafal Beramos Gilad, that's where he fell in battle in Gilad. So this is an allusion to Gilad. Li means he's with me, which means he's here in the Olam Haba with me. And then Menashe is written explicitly by David in this pasuk. He's with me. So when he says Li Gilad, Vali Menashe, he's referring to both Achav and Menashe. And then it says in the pasuk, Ephraim Ma'oz Roshi, and this is Yeravam, a reference, an allusion to Yeravam, who is a descendant of Ephraim. And then Yehuda Mechokiki, Zachi Tofel, and despite all the terrible things that it says about Achitofel, Hashem says, no, that he is me. And the reason why he's called Yehuda Mechokiki is because the Anshei Knesset Gdola from Shevet Yehuda appointed him. In any event, one person in the Mefor is left out. And who's that?
Bilam.
So Bilam, even according to the Dorshei Reshumos, is not going to have a chelek in Olam Haba. But in the cases of number one, Ephraim, number two, Menashe, number three, Doeg, and number four, Achitofel, in all these other cases, we have a stira kaviyochel, a contradiction between the Mishnah and the Gemara, and the Darshei Rishumos. So if you look on your page two, the inside of Reb Tzadik HaKohen again, and we'll see how this relates to the Maharal Miprag as we spoke about, he says there's no machlokas between the Mishnah and the Gemara. Wow. This, you know, to take an outside shot, as we say in basketball, you know, to try to somehow reconcile the Mishnah with the Gemara, that's really, you know, that takes a lot of courage. And to say ein baze machlokas, wow. He says the following, that the Mishnah always represents something called Chochmas HaTorah Sheba'al Peh. Now, when we speak about the Torah Sheba'al Peh, we're speaking about concepts that can be understood within the context of this world. In other words, with our limited, finite perspective, we can have an insight into the world that's called Torah Sheba'al Peh. And that's the Mishnah. The Mishnah embodies Torah Sheba'al Peh. Now, according to the laws that govern this world, again, the world as we know it with all its laws and its statutes, the mishpat, the final judgment for these individuals, and we're talking about Doeg, Achitofel, and Gehazi, are such that yesh chatan elu, that these sins are so severe, that their hearts, meaning their souls, are totally, totally identified with sin, with evil, to the extreme, leaving no room for goodness. There's no place in their heart for goodness. And that's why the mishpat against them is they don't have a havamina of getting entry, membership into Olam Haba. Af shemikol makom yefsha shelo yishar adayin eiza omek tov. What's the bridge now? What's the concept that's going to take us to the Darshei Rishumos? And as I said before, the Roshem here is something that refers to an eternal perspective, something beyond the perspective of this world, which is limited and finite. And that is that we, the people of Israel, and he's referring here to those Anoshim, those Eviotos that we mentioned before, are descendants of Yaakov Avinu. Now it says about Yaakov Avinu that mitaso shlema, that he had 12 sons and ainbo psolus. Not like Avram and Yitzchak, there's no psolus. This is the entity and the closed unit called Klal Yisrael, and all those who come out of that unit have to have some element of Yaakov Avinu. Now where is that element of Yaakov Avinu in the soul of someone like a Doeg, an Achitofel, and a Gehazi? It's amok. It's very deep below the surface. It's not something that you can see within the context of this world and its judgment. But Rishumo, it has a Roshem, and that's called Darshei Rishumos. They are the ones who saw below the surface and deeper into the Roshem. Hanishar, and he speaks about an R. He says a mushal would be to a light. And even when you put out the light, it's still... there's still some diffused light. Again, I'm not into physics enough here, but that still is there, that slightly lights it up. And he says the following, that since the root of every Jew is in that mitaso shlema of Yaakov, that gives a light, so to speak, a spiritual light, even when that light is cut off, v'nitak l'gamri chas v'sham l'idei chato, b'li hira tshuva klal, nevertheless, mikol makom hishir achrav rishumo, the light is still in some diffused sense there, eino musa klal, you can't see it, it's completely beyond vision, it's something that belongs to the world of the invisible, this galus ha'or befall, so there's no actual revelation of that or befall. That hisgalus of R in the Nimshal is the R of an eternal world that's not to be perceived, it's imperceivable in this limited finite world. And who were the Chachamim who were able to perceive the light of that eternal world? those are the Dorshei Rishumos. So Chachmei Yisrael in Torah Baal Peh, that's what we saw in the Mishnah. But when we get to the deeper level of Torah Baal Peh and the more profound insight, that's the Chachmei Dorshei Rishumos. Heim Hisigu Gam Rishum Roshem. They were able to see below the surface into something that's called a Roshem, that comes from a different world, a perception of a world that's eternal, that now is imperceivable. And therefore, when it says, Elam Chelik Olam Abba in the Mishnah, that's Emes, that's true, as far as we can understand the revealed Torah of Chachmei Yisrael, and how this world relates to the next. So a person who's to completely excluded, alienated from tshuva, he doesn't have any second thoughts, there's no redeeming value, he's totally identified with evil. He, from the perspective of this world, has no connection to the world to come. Aval be'emes, but if we go back to the essence of Olam Haba, Ayin lo rasa, no eye in this world can perceive it because it's in the level of Roshem, Eino ela rak hasoga derech chachma, it's only something that we can perceive in the world of abstract thought, in the world of Yeshbo Ma'amakim, deeper things. That's not something that every member of Klal Yisrael has is accessible to that world. It's only a select few of Chachmei Yisrael. Those are the Dorshei Rishumos who understood that even Jews who go so far away and are so far estranged, nevertheless they have a connection to Olam Haba. And it's interesting how he completes his presentation, Reb Tzadik, excuse me, by quoting the pasuk in Vaschana that we began with, Kulam Dveikim Vashem Elokeichem, we are all Dveik in Hashem, Lios Chaim Kulchem Hayom. This was the pasuk, if you recall, that the Maral Miprag had quoted in his drasha for Shabbos Shuva, and following through in his piece on Netzach Yisrael to explain the eternity of the Jewish people, that eternity, that connection to an eternal world, is really a reflection of this concept of Atem Hadveikim Bashem Elokeichem. Our essence as a Jewish nation is one and part of the essence of HaKadosh Baruch, which means eternity. Now we begin to understand that if the Kesher of Tefillin is that connection with the eternal world, as we saw before in Rav Tzadik, because it represents that luzbon that gives chiyus to the rest of the body, that's going to project us into the world of eternity of Olam Haba, we begin to see that what Hashem was telling Moshe Rabbeinu here about his, with a capital H, his love for Klal Yisrael, that love and that dveikus is so essential and so profound that it has far-reaching repercussions. It means that Moshe Rabbeinu, you are concerned with the problem of what happens when Klal Yisrael goes so far that they no longer have schus avos, which means they in no way, they've been so estranged and alienated, they in no way reflect any connection or any legacy of the avos, ein od tikva. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu was asking, Hareini na es kvodecha, please show me, Hashem, some vision about your essence that could calm me down and that could project or present a concept that would penetrate into my soul and calm me down about the fact that Klal Yisrael would always be able to continue to exist no matter how far estranged they are. And Hashem's answer to this request, as Rashi formulates it in Pasuk Yutes in his commentary, is that kasover ato, etc. This was your half. I mean, but no. Ani avir kol midas tuvi. Midas tuvi kol. Kol means the yud ke vav ke of v'chanosi es asher ocham v'richamti es asher rachim, that even when they are so far removed, they don't deserve any sort of chesed or rachamim. Nevertheless, v'ra'isa sachorai, you will see the kesher shel tefillin, you'll get a perception of Hashem's tefillin that says in it, that Miki Amcha Yisrael Goyechot Ba'aretz, the love of HaKadosh Baruch to Klal Yisrael, that's going to guarantee that no matter how far estranged and removed the Jewish people are, nevertheless, they still are dvekim v'Hashem Elokeichem. They still have a connection to the eternal world of Olam Haba. What a beautiful expression of Avas Yisrael in every one of these sources. And again, I know the clock is ticking very, very fast, but I do want to add 2 points over here that I think will shed an additional light on everything that we've been saying. There's the tefillin, and then there's the kesher shel tefillin. The tefillin is really the essence of Hashem. That's not something that we can perceive as mortal, finite beings. But even though that is beyond our comprehension, we do have a comprehension of a roshem. A roshem is in some sense a connection between this world and the next, and that roshem is represented by the kesher shel tefillin. Now, you may have heard of the Leshem. The Leshem was one of the great Kabbalists. And if you ever heard of Rabbi Yosef Shalom Eliyashiv, right? He's a grandson of the Leshem. Did I get that right? I think he's a grandson, right? And the Leshem says the following, this is the response of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe Rabbeinu's request. Moshe Rabbeinu requests, "Hodieni nos rachecha veidacha," and on this HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him the answer, "Chanosi." What is Hashem revealing to Moshe? "Hodio bazeh she'al yifached." Moshe, don't be overwhelmed by fear. "Al yidoga for klal Yisrael." Don't worry about klal Yisrael. Why? Because my midah of tov, my love for klal Yisrael, my mercy for klal Yisrael, is lachuv lachun ularachem ad beli dai. There is an infinite compassion of Hashem for klal Yisrael. The afal pisha einam kidai v'hagun lakach. Even when they've gone so far off the path that they don't deserve any sort of chanun v'rachum. You know, the word chanun in modern Israeli Zionist Hebrew is chanina, which I think in English translates as clemency. You know, so you give clemency for a criminal because there's some virtues or some mitigating circumstances, and he deserves clemency, even when he's not roy, he's not fit for chanun v'rachum. Nevertheless, it's going to be such that because of Hashem's love, v'chanosi es hashar ochon, that's what Moshe Rabbeinu was asking here. Moshe Rabbeinu is not just asking about himself. That's true as well. He, on an individual level, wants to get as close as he can to HaKadosh Baruch Hu by perceiving God. But he's also, at the same time, wants to get a perception of God that will calm him down about Klal Yisrael in the aftermath of the Chet HaEgel, when Moshe Rabbeinu becomes aware of how far Klal Yisrael could go in their estrangement. He gets very nervous. Okay, there's the tefillah, the Seder tefillah of Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim, but we still have Schus Avos. You know, Klal Yisrael and the Midbar were on a very high level. But what's going to be down the line? And Hashem says, "V'chanosi es hasharachon." That's the way Hashem responds to "Hodieni nos rachecha," to give a picture of God in His essence. As we said before, the kesher shel tefillin. That's the tuvi beli dai ad beli dai. That's the otzer hagadol, says the Leshem of the Matnas Chinam, and he doesn't spell out the medrash, but he tells you where to find the medrash on the pasuk "V'chanosi es hasharachon." In the Medrash Rabbah says that at that moment HaKadosh Baruch Hu took Moshe Rabbeinu on a tour on high, and he revealed to him all the various treasuries, of the reward, the Matan Schar. He saw one treasury, and Hashem revealed to him that that's the Matan Schar for the Tzaddikim who deserve it. Then there was another treasury, and that Hashem says is for osei mitzvos. They're not tzaddikim, but they have mitzvos. Then he says, "V'otzer hazeh shel mi shel megadli yisomim," that of all the mitzvos of the Torah, the greatest mitzvah is someone who raises an orphan. And this goes on and on and on, until finally, at the end of the tour, Moshe Rabbeinu beholds the greatest otzer of all of them. And he says, "Who is this designated for these rewards?" Amar lo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, "Yesh lo shani nosein lo mischaro." All the other otzos are for those who deserve reward. But what about Misha ein lo? Someone who has no positive assets. He hasn't accrued any mitzvot on his record. Is Misha ein lo? Ani osa lo b'chinam. I'll do it for free, gratis. And that's what the pasuk means, v'chanotzi eser ha-shalchon. And why is that so? And the answer, I believe, based on the Maral Miprag, is because of Hashem's infinite love and intimacy and dveikus to Klal Yisrael, the Kesher Shel Tefillin. Therefore, a Jew is always a Jew, no matter how far he's estranged, and there's an otzer even for him. That's bechinam. That's v'chanotzi eser ha-shalchon, v'chanotzi eser ha-shalchon, bechinam. And that's what I want to do. And when a person realizes this concept of how close we are in our intimate relationship as Jews with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we should come to Simcha, as I heard from my Rebbe over and over again. Whenever you see the word Simcha in the Torah and Tanakh, it's always lifting Hashem. It's always because we feel connected and close and intimate with Hashem. So Dveikus equals Simcha. And if the process of Tshuva means to come closer to Hashem and overcome that distance of the chait that separates from Hashem, then we have to do it b'simcha. And it's very interesting, the Ma'or v'Shemesh, which is one of the great Hasidic commentaries, says about the difference between the time that the Mikdash stood, when the Mikdash stood and the Mizbeach was used, the Kohen, this is unbelievable, who did the Avodah, and he brought a kapara for that person who brought the Karban, he was able to read mind. So if anybody asks you for a source for mind reading, here it is, right here in the Ma'ar V'Shemesh. He says the following. He says that the Kohen reads the mind of the person who brings the Karban. And in a sense, the thoughts that are crossing the mind of that person now are, in a sense, noflim lefanav. They sort of fall in front of the Kohen. And when the Kohen looks at these machshavos of the makrive karbanos, he knows whether or not they have real sincere tshuva. And if he realizes that the person is just perfunctorily doing what he has to do by bringing his karban, tzuyotzezayin as we say in Yiddish, then he really needs extra cavalry, extra help. And now he's going to reveal to us the secret of Shiras HaLeviyah. Do you ever think about it? What is the purpose and the goal of Shir Salvi within the context of Akrovas HaKarbonos in the Beis HaMikdash? And he says the following, that this capacity to read minds and to realize that the Makar of Karbon was not yet on the level of Tshuva, and therefore the Kapara will not be complete, that somehow, by process of shall we say, osmosis, or I don't know, some sort of contagious spreading, it reached the Levim. Maybe the Kohanim, I don't know, pressed the button and they told the Levim, hey guys, you know, we need an extra support here. The Hayu Alevim Yodim, the Gamma Kohanim, so now both the Kohanim and the Levim knew, Al Yedeza through this mind reading process, Machshavas Anoshim Ahem, Imhen Kfar Hiru B'tshuva Shleimim Lav, if perhaps they are shy of doing a full tshuva in their hearts, V'im Adayin Lo Nigmaru, if at this point the people who brought the Karbanos are not inspired to the level of Hislavus to come to Tshuva Shlema, because Tshuva Shlema, as we said before, is appreciating that closeness to Hashem and having pure spiritual joy, ultimate joy in that realization, they're not on that level at this point. Azai HaKohen HaYimarames LeBen Levi, he sent the message to the Levi. We don't know exactly what that remez looked like. But he said to them, begin your playing of instruments, begin the songs. And what is the spiritual impact of music, of songs on the highest level? I'm not talking about music that can be misused and debased, but I'm talking about the highest level of music. Is his chilu lenagin bisorus yoser ubine'imo yesera. And somehow these musical notes would penetrate into the heart of the makriv hakorbanos, and it would arouse him to do tshuva out of a sense of simcha, k'dei la'orer ha'ish ahu, la'havias ha'karman l'tshuva shlema, to bring the mevi, the person who brought the karman, to the level of tshuva shlema. And what's the level of tshuva shlema? That's the level of serving Hashem b'simcha, by feeling the closeness of Hashem, by being totally aware of the dveikus in Hashem. That's what clinches the simcha. That sense of awareness of dveikus is what is going to bring a person to tshuva shlema u'gemura. And that's what the Gemara says in Erchin, minayin le'ikar shira min haTorah, the basis and the source for shira And the greatness of song is tachas shalavatim es shem alkecha besimcha v'tuv lev. It means, what's the avoda that a Jew has to serve Hashem? It's got to be besimcha. Ezi avoda she besimcha v'tuv lev. Ha'yomer says shira. How does a person serve Hashem with simcha? It's through shira. Yiratzom et his will, that we can all be zocher. Now we have Pesach coming around the bend, and on Pesach there's a great emphasis on shira, on simcha. This is the time in which Hashem revealed His special love for the Jewish people. We should be zocher to that level of tshuva, of dveikus, of being inspired to shira, and avoda besimcha, kein yiratzon.
Amen.
Amen. Any questions on what we did? Again, I tried to fit in everything in one shiur, but there's a lot more here. But I think the Maharal's breakthroughs here are very, very powerful, very beautiful.
Well, I guess I have a question.
Go ahead. Oh, it has safe. The Be'ez Amud.